The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
Welcome to the Raiders Press Pass, your credential to all things silver and black.
Before I start answering the unanswerable pre-draft questions, I just want to hit on one thing because I was thinking about this this weekend. So this is a time of year where myself, a lot of us, even some of you, would always talk to Chris Mortensen this time of year. And I was just thinking back in 2013 when I became a GM, Bill Polian had told me, you're going to have a lot of insiders reach out to you. He said, you can trust Mort. And if you guys know Bill, Bill had a love-hate relationship with the media. Like, he just loved to hate them. So when he said that about Mort, that kind of resonated with me. And it was something that I saw pretty quickly what he meant. And Mort was, he was so good at what he did, but he had compassion for the people. Like, he'd break some pretty big stories, but he always knew that could affect a player, could affect a coach, could affect a GM, their family, and he always handled that really, really well. So when I was about mid-December when I got let go from the Chargers, about 2 weeks later, I get a text from Mort, and it wasn't like we texted back and forth very often, maybe once or twice a year, really. He sent me a text just kind of, hey, I was thinking about you, your family. Really respected what you did with the Chargers. You know, bright things are in your future, which ever the insider, maybe you knew this was going to happen. Who knows? It was just really cool. And that was on Christmas Eve of all things. So really, I should have been reaching out to him with what he was going through. So, you know, guys like him and 2 years ago, John Clayton passed away. These guys were like titans in this industry, especially around draft time, that we always kind of reached out to and, you know, got great information, but they never, you know, shared too much. Like I said, I was thinking about those guys this weekend as we get into this. There's just so much coverage of the draft, rightfully so. Such a big thing, but those two guys are titans in this industry. But so other than that, we can get to the important draft questions.
Speaking about the information and the newsworthiness, there's talk, you know, do the Raiders trade up? Do they trade down? Have you ruled anything in or out in terms of the trading up part? And based on your history of doing this, what's been the level of engagement, especially from the teams that are ahead of you, in terms of any of those possibilities?
Right. Yeah, newsflash. GM says he's open to trading up, moving back, picking a spot. Like, everybody always says the same thing. So, we have a plan right now to go up if we have to and be aggressive with it. We've got a plan if we stick and pick, obviously. And we got a plan to go back if it's within a certain range. It's been normal this year as like other years. Like, there's been conversations with other teams, but it's probably more general than specific. It really wouldn't get more specific to usually like later in the process, Tuesday, Wednesday, even Thursday, even sometimes when you're on the clock. So, but it's been about the same amount of work that goes into that.
Tom, something that we've seen this year, probably more than past years, is the number of underclassmen has gone down pretty significantly, and that's probably NIL and other factors. Right. Do you think that's taken away at all from the depth of the draft class overall?
Quite possibly with the number of players that have stayed in. I just look at it like right now we have 8 picks. In the end, it could be 7, it could be 9, it could be 10. Well, we got to find 8 guys to that group. So we'll do a good job with that. But I think it does affect a little bit. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's good. You know, the longer players stay in school, the better. They get farther with their education, hopefully finish and graduate, and they get to keep working on their craft and become a better player. So I think it's good for everybody.
Tom, when you're evaluating a player, we know that the draft is a marathon, not a sprint, but I'm just curious in your interpretation, how much do you put into what are we going to get early out of this guy compared to another, and what is the long-term upside compared to another?
Yeah, absolutely. There's always a short-term look, long-term look to it. And I think the thing we have to remember is we're drafting these players for a minimum of 4 to 5 years. We're drafting them for the future, and that's what we're hoping to get out of them. It's not so much where they fit in initially as a rookie their first year. I mean, history shows, you know, probably less than a third of rookies, maybe even like 30% of rookies, actually play a high number, a significant amount of snaps their rookie years or fill a need. So that's reality. So, you know, whatever needs we may have today or whatever perceived needs those are, these players we're drafting, we're looking down the road, you know, minimum, I say 4 to 5 years moving. So, but whenever we talk about players, we do talk about, okay, what role would they have right away? What role would they have in the future? And kind of go off that.
Tom, as this week ramps up, what has it been like just working with Antonio Pierce this offseason and sharing each other's goals?
Yeah, it's been really good. He's got a great vision of what he wants in the football team, and he hasn't deviated from that, which really helps the personnel department as far as we're trying to match up players to our football team. He's got a great feel for evaluating players, which I'm not surprised. He played at a high level. He's coached at high school level, college level, the pro level. Evaluating players is all the same, whether they're 15 years old or they're 25 years old. But he's got a really good feel for that. What's been nice since he was in college recently, he knows some of these players already. He may have recruited them, may have known about them, may have played against them when he was coaching in college. So that's been helpful. But I think the biggest thing is he has a real vision of what he wants, and he hasn't, you know, gone like this with that. So it really helps us kind of identify exactly who's going to fit as a Raider.
Tom, are you... You obviously had success in the early rounds in the drafts when you were with the Chargers. Do you see yourself more in the early rounds as a guy that's drafting for need or a guy that's drafting best player available?
Yeah, I mean, that's always that's the question every year. You try and balance it out. But the biggest thing is your needs change, and they're unpredictable. And a need we may have today may not be a need in August. We may have a player in the building right now that continues to develop and grow and fills that need. We may have a position group that feels really strong today, and then we get to September, October, and it's not that strong. So the story I've told here is, I guess it would be my first year with the Chargers. Our roster needed a lot of work, but I felt like our receiver group was the strongest group on the football team. So we're in the draft. We're in the third round, and Keenan Allen's card is just staring at us, just begging us to take him. And we decide, all right, we'll take him, but more than likely, he'll probably redshirt the year. We don't really have a spot for him. He may even be inactive every week. And then we get into May OTAs, and one receiver gets hurt. We get into training camp. Another receiver really didn't perform the way we thought he would. And then in September, another receiver got hurt. Keenan jumps in the game in September, and he's rookie of the year that year. So like I said, your needs change quickly and unpredictably. So it's hard to go into a draft just thinking how we're going to line up this opening day. We have to take a little bit more long-range approach to it, like I was telling Hondo, and look, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road rather than just how they fit today.
As you go through this process, how much is it evaluating players and how much is it evaluating people that you want to bring in?
Yeah, it's both. You know, it's hard to evaluate people. I mean, it's sometimes uncomfortable trying to be the judge of that, but, you know, I'm not so much into personalities, but as far as their work ethic, their football intelligence, their love for the game, those are things we can glean a little bit. But it's a big part of it. It's more than just you know, what you watch on tape. We're trying to put the whole package together for the player. In this league, it is so competitive. It's so good. The talent level is so high. You do need some places where you can find an edge. A lot of time that edge is preparation, work ethic, and passion for the game. So you try and blend the two together. And then the real big trick is to execute and follow that and not kind of fall in the trap of, well, he doesn't have exactly the intangible characters that we look for, but boy, the tape's really good. So you try not to fall into that trap.
Others been in the past, or even with this current roster with guys like, you know, Max and Devontae, how much do you depend on the players in your roster currently to kind of help with evaluate and get insight on players you're looking at?
In the college?
Yes.
Not so much. And we've got a really good staff of college scouts. And I will say this staff that really I inherited between Josh and Dave Ziegler, like, these guys are like really well taught. They're organized, they're detailed. So I've been very lucky to walk into this, to have a staff like this. And then obviously the coaches are a big part of the process too. They're almost like a cross check. They also help determine like scheme fit. So try and take the coaches, take the scouts. Obviously the head coach is a big part of that. Kind of tie that all together, add in some data analytics and kind of blend it all together and make a decision. But at some point you can have too many evaluators too. So you got to be careful with that.
Tom, I was talking to Bill Polian about you, and he talked about if you're not sure you have your answer on a player the earlier in the rounds, how much for you when it comes to a first rounder or however deep is it, if I'm not sure I have my answer, he's not our guy?
Yeah, if we're this far in the process, you're not sure, he's probably going to be tossed out. So the great thing about the draft is the pool is really large. So if I ever feel like as a group that we're just not all on the same page, we're not all seeing the same thing, we're just not sure, it's very easy just to move away from that player and just say, look, he may make it with somebody, he may play real well, but we don't think his odds with us are as high. Because in the end, we're just trying to increase our odds on being successful with the player. There's a lot of things that go into that. But you can kind of get a feel for it. That's why the draft, it's we try and make it a science. It's not. There's still an art to it. And, yeah, I've just felt like if we can't get on the same page with the player, we're probably better off just moving on to somebody else.
Have you gone through this process, are there particular position groups that you feel are there's some deepness to that room?
I don't know. I don't really look too much at that. Maybe the first two rounds I'll look at it because it could affect who you take in the first round to see who could come back in the second. But in the end, we got to find eight guys. So even if there's a small position group that maybe not as strong, we only got to find one if we're drafting there. So I guess a couple little more than others, but it's all relative. If there was a real strong group, I probably wouldn't tell you anyways, or it's particularly a weak group. So, but again, we all look at it a little bit differently. There is no one official finalized list of prospect rankings. Each 32 teams look at it a little bit differently, have a different ranking. Like I said, it's very subjective.
Outside of the football, like actual, you know, movements, things that you look toward when you're drafting a player, when you had guys drafted like Joey Bosa or Justin Herbert that really worked out, what was something in common that they had that you really assessed about them prior to the draft?
Yeah, you know, those two guys, you know, it's really the work ethic and preparation part of it, because like I said, the league is so talented. And like with Joey, I remember at the combine, he was competing with those drills like it was a game day. Like he was just soaked in sweat. He was focused on every single drill he did. He'd go back to the bench and sit down. He was kind of preparing for the next drill. Like that to me meant more than the actual times and actually how the drills looked. Just watch how he worked. And Justin Herbert was similar, where everything, he just attacked everything like it was so important. And especially with a quarterback, like preparation is so big. So I just think in this league, it's got to be more than just talent. You got to have some other things that go along with that, because everybody is so good, and you need to keep developing and improving over time. You can't level out in this league, or else somebody passes you by. So, you know, as we talk about, it's more than just talent. It's got to be some intangibles with it. Those two guys had that.
AP told me that he feels like the guardian of the gate, protecting the culture of the locker room you guys have built. Do you feel that same way when you're evaluating potential new Raiders about how are they going to fit in my locker room?
Yeah, even how they're going to fit in our city. I mean, these players are coming in and representing the Raiders, representing Las Vegas, and they're representing fans of the Raiders all over the world. So, yeah, that does come into it, and we are very protective of that. If you're going to be a part of us, you got to fit us, and I think AP is just tremendous at that.
Tom, biggest goal that you want to see accomplished by the end of the draft this year?
Oh, that's a good question. That's hard to answer, because after the draft, when whoever many guys we select, you feel great about all of them. In reality, they're not all going to hit. We kind of know that. You don't want to really, you don't want to talk about it. But yeah, that's just reality. But I guess probably because we're all kind of new together here, just make sure this process goes smoothly. We're going to do some things tomorrow, as the NFL has like a mock draft to make sure everything works with technology and everything like that. So we'll go through our own tomorrow, just make sure the process is smooth. Because when you're making decisions and there's a clock behind you ticking down, you don't have time at that point to be explaining things. So we'll kind of do a walkthrough tomorrow, because everybody's new here working together. We'll kind of go through that. So just make sure the process works smoothly. That's probably the biggest thing. But I'm not really worried about it, to be honest with you.
Along those lines, like how has this process been for you? Just you've been, you know, in one place for a decade doing this kind of every year, kind of down to a routine maybe, and now you're in a new city, new people around you. Like, is this an exciting process for you? Is it a fun time for you? Is it kind of stressful more so than normal?
I think if you prepare well enough, it shouldn't be stressful. And then if you have the right people around you, like we've got some really smart, experienced guys here. I mean, Champ Kelly's been in the league a long time, really experienced, great sounding board. JoJo Wooden the same way. The college director, Brandon Juergen, is really detailed, organized. Those guys have done some heavy lifting the last couple months. And that is even not to mention the whole scouting staff that's on the road. So I feel really good about it. I feel good about the group. We've prepared a lot, and we'll kind of let it ride, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Is it basically the same process as with the Chargers?
Relatively so. You know, there's probably some things we probably couldn't implement yet that we will next year. But as far as the process from when I got here to now, it's been relatively similar. Yeah.
Tom, I know you guys signed Gardner Minshew, obviously, and you've spoken about, you know, how confident you are in Aiden O'Connell. Is that something that precludes you from still looking at quarterback in the draft, or is that something that's still on the table?
Yeah, I don't think so. Like I said, we're drafting for the future, too. So, you know, position-wise on this team, we could use a help a little bit everywhere. So I don't think any position is precluded from being drafted this year.
Obviously, everybody's is focused on the seven rounds, but you also got to work those phone lines after the draft is over. How big is that eighth round? Those undrafted free agents, you got some in the locker room, and they've come through big time for you.
Yeah, it's a very important part of the process. I rely heavily on the area scouts and college scouts to do that. Yeah, we're going to sign a good amount of college free agents this year. That's kind of the process that we've used in the past. And those guys are critical to your football team in a salary cap era. They can come in and you know, win a role and hopefully be here for a number of years. And, you know, salary cap-wise, it just helps because they're on minimum salaries. But there's be a lot of opportunities this year. You know, essentially, I know AP was the head coach last year for essentially half the year. But to me, this is a new year. It's a new head coach. It's a new coaching staff. It's a whole new regime. So there'll be a lot of opportunities for college free agents this year. And, you know, kind of see how it shakes out.
What momentum do you feel in this building, just coming off the Super Bowl, coming off such a big year here in Las Vegas? What momentum do you feel heading into the draft?
Yeah, you know, it's like I've always said, like, whatever happens at the end of the last season, it really doesn't carry over to the next year. Every year is new and different. But I will say what, you know, kind of the culture that was built late in the year last year, and then I've kind of seen it already in the offseason program where there were so many players here in January and February, which is not really common where I've been in the past. And I think that kind of was built at the end of the year last year. So I do think that carries over. A lot of that has to do with our head coach as far as what he's building around us, and the players that are here have really built it. So I do think there's some carryover there. As far as on the field play, that's, you know, it's going to be a completely new year and unique to that.
I know we're all focused on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the new toys that you're going to put out there. But there's a class from last year as well. And I know we're still early in the process, just opening up off-season programs. But from your vantage point, from what you've seen so far of that class, what's your feel for last year's draft class?
Well, this will be a big step for them. Always the second year, a full off-season program. They don't have to worry about, you know, training for the combine, getting ready for the draft, making visits. So players like Tyree Wilson, I know he missed a lot of time in the draft process, and then I think even in OTAs with a foot injury. So for a player like him to have a full real off season is going to be really beneficial. Ben at the corner, same way. I mean, a lot of these kids as they grow, like, you know, last year when they were drafted, weren't just drafted for their rookie year. So, you know, we expect and hope to see big strides from that whole class. I think they all made the team last year, which is pretty darn good. I think it was 10 players that were drafted, 10 players made the team. A lot of them had, some had bigger roles than others, but they all had a role. So, yeah, we'll be counting on those guys.
Thanks for listening to the Raiders Press Pass. For all things silver and black, download the Raiders app and visit Raiders.com.